Hi, my name is Yangxuan Zhang. I'm the second year PhD student in the Geography, Environment and Society Department at University of Minnesota. I'm going to introduce our research about using smartphone-based activity travel survey data to investigate how individuals schedule their activities in space and time. The intuition of our research is that the space-time prism is a fundamental concept in time geography, and it represents all the accessible locations and time for individuals given their capability, coupling, and authority constraints. Following this concept, the prism anchors are defined using fixed activities such as home, work and school, that they are always considered as fixed in the space and time, and other flexible activities such as shopping, recreation, and eating out are scheduled between two fixed activities. However, this assumption ignores the variation between individuals with different social demographic backgrounds. That is, the fixity of activities might vary from person to person. For example, individuals may have non-routine home, work, and school activities with changing locations and time. And some individuals may have routine shopping, recreation, and work, eating out activities due to specific constraints and personal habits. Fortunately, smartphone-based activity travel survey enables us to study activity fixity at individual activity episode level, because it can collect both movement GPS trajectory and activity semantic information. So the objective of this research is to investigate the fixity of an activity type with respect to spatial locations, route, and time periods. In this research, we conceptualize activity fixity through following three aspects: spatial stationary, temporal segmentation, and spatial temporal recurrence. So first, for spatial stationary, we check whether an activity episode is stationary or non-stationary based on its spatial trajectory. Second, for temporal segmentation, we examine whether the time allocation for an activity type is fragmented or condensed based on all episodes of that type of activity within one day. Third, for spatial temporal recurrence, we don't strictly define fixed time as repeating activity at exact same time, but we just see whether activity occur recurrently at same location during similar time. But we just, let's say, one day or similar time periods within one day. For the next step, we will examine whether these findings vary across different individuals or different social demographic groups. The data we used in this research were collected through Dynamica's smartphone application. Dynamic app can collect users' spatial GPS trajectory, then cut trajectory into sequence of activity episodes, and then infer activity semantic information and allow users to edit it in near real time. The data structure here is activity episodes records are stored in temporally sequential order with user ID, activity type, start and end time, and spatial trajectory. And activity type include home, work, education, shopping, etc. The survey includes 372 participants resident in six neighborhoods in the Twin City metro areas, and each user was asked to collect around 7 days activity travel data. In the method part, first, we use three indicators to describe spatial trajectory attributes and categorize it into stationary activity and non-stationary activity. The first one is spatial region, and we use convex hull to calculate the area of spatial trajectory, and finally get the square root of area as the first indicator. The second attribute is dispersion, and we use maximum distance to mean center as the indicator, because it is also the mean axis of the standard deviational ellipse. The third attribute is change in status, and we use the distance between start and end location to represent it. To categorize stationary activity and non-stationary activity, we use square root of area and maximum distance to mean as the indicator for the first level criteria. The first step is calibrating the cutoff point for small and large value. Specifically, we find the best match distribution for each indicator and then find the cutoff value at where it can reach 95% area under the fitted distribution curve. As you can see in the result part, both indicators for home activity fit Box-Cox's T distribution. After we get cutoff value, also in the result part, you can see the scatter plot of square root of area and maximum distance to mean is divided into four regions. So region one in the bottom left corner is definitely the stationary activity, but we cannot easily regard region 2, 3, 4 as non-stationary activity because of GPS noise effect shown in the criteria table. So next, we use distance-based data filtering method and moving average smoothing method to mitigate the GPS jump point and noise effect. After that, the trajectory can be correctly classified as stationary activity and non-stationary activity based on the same criteria. Then, for identified stationary activity, we can get episode level activity location by finding the center of standard deviational ellipse for each activity trajectory. And then we can get individual level activity locations by clustering episode level activity location list for each individual. And for non-stationary activity, it still possible contains stationary part within its trajectory. For example, home-based tool would have small distance between start and end location, but large square root of area at maximum distance to mean center. Another example is people may stay at home for a long while and have a short trip around home. Therefore, first, at episode level, we use dbScan method to identify the stationary part within trajectory. Then we compare identified clusters, start and end location regions with identified individual stationary activity list to find activity locations within non-stationary trajectories. For the second analysis, temporal fragmentation analysis, intuitively, some individual might start work in early morning and end work late, but their total working durations are short. This type of working patterns can be defined as fragmented patterns. On the other hand, some individuals would have more condensed working patterns. For example, they only have one long-lasting working activity within one day. Therefore, two indicators would be used in this analysis. The first is time range, that is, within one day, the range between the start time of the first activity and the end time of the last activity. The second indicator is total duration, that is, the sum of two durations of all one type activity within one day. Lastly, for spatial temporal recurrence analysis, we use the same procedure in the first analysis to find individual level stationary activity locations. And then we check the temporal profiles for each location cluster to find the recursive activities for each individual. The preliminary results are shown in the fifth part. For spatial stationary analysis, we take home activity as an example, C1. since it is a common prism anchor. The cutoff value determined by fitted Boxcox T distribution is 0.143 km for square root of area and 0.205 km for maximum distance to mean center. You can look at the criteria table on the top right corner. These two thresholds, in addition to the third indicator, that is the distance between start and end location, are used to categorize stationary and non-stationary home activity. Following the method part, we can get individual level stationary home locations. It is shown in this two-row table. We can see most of individuals only have one home location, which is consistent with prism anchor assumption. But there are individuals that do have more than one home locations. This finding supports our hypothesis that home activity is not always fixed in the same location. Especially, 29 participants even don't have any home activity within 1 week. So it is not appropriate to use home activity as prism anchor for this group of people. For non-stationary activity, as you can see the figure below the criteria table, we list four common types of non-stationary home activities, such as home-based tour, stationary home plus a short trip, stationary home included within a trip, and home-related trip. We identify that each case includes about 10 participants. This indicates that individuals would consider some trips as part of home activities, such as walking dogs. So we cannot simply consider home as stationary activity, and prism anchors in these cases are sort of regions rather than points. For temporal fragmentation analysis, we take work activity as an example. As you can see in these four scatter plots, working time may scatter within a day that activities are not temporally continuous. The global working pattern is more condensed during weekdays, while on weekends, less working activities occur and tend to be more fragmented. For spatial temporal recurrence analysis, we take eat-out activity as an example, since it is commonly considered as flexible activity. And we find some participants have revisited eat-out locations. The example shown on the top map is a routine eat-out activity. In this example, the person eats out at the same location during similar time across multiple days. To some degree, this kind of activity could be a better choice for prism anchor for this person. Okay, so in conclusion, through three analyses, spatial stationary, temporal fragmentation, and spatial temporal recurrence analysis, we find that first, intuitively fixed activities such as home and work may be non-stationary or occur at fragmented time. Second, intuitively flexible activities such as eat out may reoccur at the same locations during similar time. Third, these findings can support the hypothesis that the prism anchors could be personalized by learning from individuals' previous schedules. Okay, that's all. Thank you for your listening, and I look forward for your valuable comments. Thank you.